The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. You know what I forgot to ask about earlier in the show? I got on Saturday afternoon, I got a picture texted to me of Nicole holding up a salmon, a decent-sized salmon. Where'd you guys go? Yeah. Where'd you go?
It was out of CQ up on the strait there. And, yeah, no, we had fun. So Brandy, our mutual friend, Brandy Cruz, yes. We went with her someday in-laws. And they,
wait a second. They're not engaged, are they?
Nah, but they will be sometime.
No, you put too much pressure on everybody when you call them her someday in-laws.
I'm confident.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, so her someday father-in-law, I guess, Dave, he took us out, and I mean, we just had a blast. It was so great to be on the water. Caught 7 keepers, not a lot that we had to throw back. And then we met tons and tons of Dory / Brandy Cruz listener and fans.
Really? How did that happen?
The camp was full of them. Well, Brandy's somewhat recognizable. So typically when I hang with her, she gets recognized with her face. And then we start talking and she says, it's my friend Nicole. And they're like, not Nicole with Dory. And,
really?
And
then that's very nice.
And then that's how it usually goes. Yeah.
I met the nicest couple this weekend. My neighbor, 2 doors down, he said, you know, the person on, it's kind of on the backside of our property and also 2 doors down. They just bought the house. They moved up here from Texas. And he said, she discovered your podcast and she was telling me how much she loved your show. And she had no idea that your neighbors.
Oh, and, it's really funny.
Yeah. And she was just randomly talking about the podcast that she loves. And so he said, come on, I got to introduce you. So my wife and I went. And this couple, they were so lovely, moved up here from Texas. And she immediately gave me a hug. And I thought, well, that's cool that our show connects with people and they feel like they know you well enough to do that. And it was just
absolutely
very sweet.
We have the best listeners.
Yeah, they were very nice, or are very nice, and I'm glad to have them as neighbors. So,
but Clallam County, man, they love us.
Nice. How far off the coast do you go?
Not very far, because you're just in the strait there, so you can see both sides.
Okay.
And you're just kind of in the middle kind of area. Nice. About 600 feet depth, you know.
Okay.
All right. It was really fun. We had lots of whales.
Well, that's very cool.
Seals. Yeah.
Well, the outdoor lines, Tom Nelson was also very impressed with your pick and your salmon. So congratulations. Nice
job. Picture of me kissing the fish, because apparently you got to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I hear. All right. okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get into our big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So as you heard in Aaron's newscast, the Seattle Storm, they got eliminated in the one-game playoff yesterday. And they're, you know, the big buzz is, will Sue Bird retire? I mean, it is a remarkable career to be playing this sport at the highest level at age 41. I'm just like Tom Brady in football. It's unbelievable what Sue Bird's done with these people. Because it takes your body takes a pounding, man. Believe me, I know. And I didn't play anywhere near at that level. But there is another story that very few people have heard about that a listener tipped me off, because and there's a listener, he and his wife, they have given us many, many fantastic show tip ideas, and his wife has filed an ethics violation complaint against Mayor Jenny Durkin. The reason? Well, the Storm owners, or one of the owners, who's super rich, she owns a piece of property right across from the Storm offices down in the Inner Bay neighborhood. And they want to build a big Seattle Storm practice facility there. There's only one problem. In this neighborhood, it's zoned to a maximum of 10,000 square feet for an indoor recreation center. Well, the storm owners want 50,000 square feet, which that can't get approved, right? Wrong. Jenny Durkin is trying to fast track what is called a spot rezone. Now, let's put this in a little bit of context. When the billionaire Chris Hansen wanted to build a new basketball arena down in Soto, he asked the city council to vacate an alley so he'd have all the property for the proper footprint for that arena. And the city of Seattle said no. The city council voted against him. But now Jenny Durkin might grant a friend of hers what's called a spot rezone so that she can get an exemption in a neighborhood which is limited to 10,000 square foot indoor rec, and she wants to make it 50,000. And I want to give credit. The story was first broken, as far as I know, by sccinsight.com, which is a great website, great guy who's a watchdog of the Seattle City Council. And as they all point out, that this is almost impossible to get. But the reason my listener's wife has filed the ethics complaint is because the reason that's stated for granting a spot zone exemption, quote, "We support women's LGBTQs and empower girls." Huh. So now, Jenny Durkin and the owner of the Storm, they are both part of the LGBTQ community. But is that the reason for the city of Seattle, for Jenny Durkin's office, to grant an exemption that would not be granted to anybody else? And we've already seen Chris Hansen and getting turned down by the city for the alley vacation. And so it's a public record. My listeners requested it. But is this where we are now? Where if you identify with somebody in power, then you get tremendous power. But if you don't, then you get treated like just everybody else in the masses. It's just very strange. But Jenny Durkin, in her final months of what has been an absolute failure as mayor, she apparently is trying to give favors to friends based not on what's best for the city, not based on what is codified zoning, but based on social justice issues. Is that any way to run a city? I'd like to know what you think. You can text us. Brand new text line, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Well, as we talked about late last week, Jay Inslee extended the eviction moratorium. Now, this comes just a couple weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled these moratoriums to be unconstitutional. Of course, I have said that from the very beginning. This is the government taking of private property from these landlords and forcing them to essentially just give their property away to a government mandate while they still have to pay property taxes and utilities and mortgage payments. Don Cullen is a landlord who has been trying to rally a lot of support by taking out full page ads in the Seattle Times. And he joins me here on the Dory Monson Show. Don, good to talk to you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay. So if my listeners have not seen the full page ad, just give me the essence of it. What were you trying to communicate?
Well, in this particular ad, I'm trying to get the landlords to band together and refuse to rent anything in the month of October as a matter of protesting and showing what a necessity we are to the country. And then also my second part of the ad was to ask people that if they're selling anything, sell it to private owners, owner-occupants, to shrink the rental pool again, to get the attention of the brainless politicians.
Well, and that just makes sense to me from pure economics 101 standpoint, that the tougher the politicians make it, let's say if you have a single family home that you rent out, the tougher the politicians make it, the more likely a landlord is to just say, okay, I'm done as a landlord, I'll sell it, and like you said, reduce the supply, which of course is going to drive up price.
Well, and create a shortage, that's my goal. I don't know if it would necessarily drive up price, but I want to get the attention of the brainless politicians that we serve a not just a need, but a necessity. Just like the farmers.
Well, and as I was introducing you, the Supreme Court ruled at the federal level eviction moratoriums to be unconstitutional. I have always said that this looks like a blatant Fifth Amendment violation that says the government cannot take private property without just compensation. And it seems like that's what they are doing. I mean, is that how you view it?
Oh, absolutely. And the sad thing is they're not doing anybody any favors. When the mountain blew, we had a recession. I don't know if you were here, if you remember.
I sure was.
We had a recession after, had a severe recession after the mountain blew, St. Helens Mountain blew, and it hit me harder than this did because people were out of work, but we had people get two families in a house or move in with family, whatever. They maintained their credit rating, but this governor has single-handedly ruined the credit rating of hundreds, if not thousands, of Washingtonians. Who's going to rent to a non-payer?
And is that getting reported somewhere? Because I know that in Seattle, for example, they've made it more and more difficult for people to take, for landlords to take prospective renters' background information as criteria. But it's getting reported that they are non-payers, and this will impact their credit rating. You're sure of that?
That's up to the landlords. If they're not sure it's getting reported on their credit rating, take them to small claims court, get a judgment. That'll be on their credit rating.
And is that? I know that you have several properties. Is that what you are doing to all of your non-payers?
Well, interestingly enough, I only have one non-payer, believe it or not, and this was a bachelor who, when he found out he didn't have to pay his rent, he quit his job and is living on drug sales and theft. He hasn't been charged with dealing drugs, but he has actually been arrested and charged with breaking into the apartment next door to his.
Wow.
That's the non-payer I have.
Okay. Well, wow. Okay, and look, I'm all for, if people lost their job because of the epidemic, because of COVID, I'm all for us providing a safety net for those people. But now the truth is that the unemployment rate is about the same as it was pre-pandemic. But I have talked to a lot of landlords who have told me that, you know, they've gone to collect their rent and the tenant will just stand in the doorway and give them the finger and say, I'm not paying.
Absolutely.
Because I don't have to. Is that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, I haven't run into a lot of problems, but that's a possibility. But my ad that you're talking about in the Seattle Times has generated one death threat and one, I hope you live a miserable life and die a hard death, mm-hmm, wish, from, and not because of the contents of the ad, but simply because I'm the landlord.
Oh, yeah. No, look, in particularly here in the greater Seattle area, there is an anti-capitalist Marxist movement afoot.
And absolutely.
I mean, there's simply no question about that. And so, anybody who is a private property owner, therefore, is automatically hated.
Well, and we can get their attention. Just quit renting.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I heard this full-page ad cost you $4,200, which, by the way, is just a tiny fraction. A few years or 20 years ago, 10 years ago, a full-page ad in the Seattle Times, I think, would have been about two or three times that. But so if you've only had one deadbeat renter, why are you so invested in this?
Well, because it's a statewide problem, a countrywide problem. And I'm just taking a stand for all the landlords, not just me.
Yeah. I have wondered if all of you are going to band together and get a good constitutional attorney and go after the politicians that implement unconstitutional mandates.
But if we just stopped renting for a month, that would get their attention.
Yeah, but
without getting an attorney and going through all the court processes.
Yeah, but can all other landlords afford that? I mean, if they're already hurting from having deadbeat tenants?
We'll see.
Okay. All right. I'll watch with interest if you're able to galvanize things. Don, it's good to talk to you. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Don Collin, he's a local landlord. Full page Seattle Time ad. $4,200 trying to get landlords to take a stand against what the governor's trying to push. All right, next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Okay, I hope by now people understand that when I tip you off on something, you should act. You know, I told you about this long-term care bill in our legislature, which is going to be one of the most outrageous taxes in our state's history, where if you don't retire here, or if you're within 5 years of retirement, you're going to have to, if you make $100,000 a year, you're going to have to give the state $580, 5.8% of your salary. There's no cap. If you make $200,000, it's $1,160 you got to give them. And now the private long-term care companies have pretty much pulled out of the state, because people were just going to sign up, get the opt-out letter, and then cancel so they could save tens of thousands of dollars over their lifetime. If you haven't done that, you're probably going to lose tens of thousands of dollars to this long-term care insurance plan. I just got a text message. Somebody who just got their insurance bill, and it's up $800. And they can't afford it. But that's because Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler has said that you can't use good credit as a discount method anymore. And that was the number one discount method that insurance companies use. So now people with good credit are being punished $800, $1,000 a year. This is what government will do to you if you aren't aware. Now, I tried to warn everybody 6 months and a year ago about those two things. Let me tell you another one that you better be aware of. Jay Inslee's constantly talking about all the climate change initiatives, and he would like to get our state down to zero emissions by the year 2050. You know what that would cost you? Nature.com, which is pro-climate change legislation, they aren't saying this to try to dissuade people, but I want you to know, according to their own studies, to get down to 95% cut in carbon emissions by the year 2050, it'll cost every single person $11,000 per person per year, and that's in 2021 dollars. I mean, maybe by the year 2050, there'll be $30,000 per person per year. But for the stuff that Jay Inslee and Joe Biden and everybody is proposing for climate change legislation, it would take about 20% of the median salary, which is about $50,000 a year, $55,000. Take 20% of the median salary. And for what? For what? So, but that's, I want you to be aware, when you hear Inslee and Biden and AOC talking about this Green New Deal, according to Nature.com, by the year 2050, that'll take 20% of the average person's salary per year. Does that still sound like a good deal to you? That is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We will check the news for you, and then an amazing story. A woman said one line in a New York City park, and it has turned her life upside down. I will play you the audio coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, Aaron, you just said steady rain. Is it absolutely pouring where you are right now?
It was about 5 minutes ago. Really heavy downpour. Now it's kind of tapered off a little bit.
my God. Well, Sean, you got a window in your studio. Is it not that bad there?
That is true. You know what? Aaron is absolutely right. Yes, nice. About 5 minutes ago, it was absolutely pounding, yeah. And now,
you know, that
just
very
what Aaron said. I'm not going
to
repeat.
I don't know why I would second guess Aaron. It's horrible.
We have the same view, you know. It's horrible, actually.
Yeah, he's a little farther away, but he has glasses like myself.
That's right.
That was a lousy thing for
wow.
me to do. No,
it I got your back, Aaron.
Thanks.
This is not like a Seattle area rain where I am right now. It's coming down like the Midwest or the East Coast. It rarely does rain knock out satellite TV coverage, but it's doing it now. This is crazy. Okay, I hope everybody stays safe. I'll keep getting second opinions whenever Aaron tells me something. I want to tell you about an incident that happened a couple of days ago back in Brooklyn. So a woman was in a park. There was a couple, a black man, a Caucasian man, and they are engaged, I believe. And she thought their dog was barking. And the black man alleges that she said, go back to your hood, or why don't you stay in your hood? And at that point, the guy pulled out his phone and started recording the encounter with the woman who denies that she ever said that.
In our hood? No.
I'm gonna invite everyone.
Stay in our hood. Stay in our hood. That's it. I'm sorry, what? Stay in our hood. Stay in our hood. You just told us
to stay in our hood.
You just told us to leave the dog park and stay in.
So now the woman is saying, are you telling that to me? You're telling me that I need to stay in my hood? So she denies that she said it and that he's making it up.
In our hood.
Oh my God, did you just say that to me?
Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
That,
wow. But Karen is in the white.
There's, I'm sorry. You were right here. Watch this entire thing. Did she just not stand here and tell us to stay in our hood?
She did.
Okay. And he brought another guy into the picture. And I don't know if he knew the guy, but he said, yes, she said that. Okay. The guy who recorded and posted this, according to Outkick.com, they call him a professional outrage / race hustler. His name is Frederick Joseph. And he alleges things all the time. Last year, he claimed an Airbnb host rented him a house, and he wasn't happy with it. So he went online and said the house had satanic rituals performed there. He said that there were satanic symbols in the house. The owner of the house vehemently denies all of that. But he went on Twitter, and he got a big, huge thread going claiming that this was a satanic house. And then people said, oh, give us the address. And everybody was going to just descend on this Airbnb host and get her canceled. He also, 3 years ago, he was on an airplane flight. And the woman sitting next to him, she had her shoes off and put her feet up on the seat in front of her. And he took a picture of that. And he says that the flight attendants allowed her to keep her feet up on the chair in front of her because she was white. And he said if a black person did that, they would tell them immediately to take their feet down. I have that tweet in front of me. The audacity of white privilege. This woman next to me took her shoes off and placed both on the chair in front, on the table. Although I can't tell if they're on they don't look like they're on the table to me. Oh, they're on the back of the table's folded up. So it's on the underside of the table. So he made a big Twitter to-do about that. And according to Outkick.com, just a couple weeks ago, he claimed there was another incident. He was standing next to a car, and he says a white woman in Williamsburg asked him why he was standing there. And as Outkick says, more white women causing him great pain, more incidents to fuel his social media following that is more than willing to help him on his crusade. And they say this is his business plan. So let me tell you what happened after this video posted. So now that you know a little more context, here it is. It's just 25 seconds.
Stay in our hood? No.
I'm going to invite everyone.
Stay in our hood. Stay in our hood. That's it. I'm sorry, what? Stay in our hood. Stay in our hood.
You just told us to stay in our hood.
You just told us to leave the dog park and stay in our hood.
Oh my God, did you just say that to me? Shit.
Wow. Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
That,
wow. The Karen is in the white.
There's, I'm sorry. You were right here. Watch this entire thing. Did she just not stand here and tell us to stay in our hood?
She did.
Okay. So a round of guys, you know, supports what he said. She did. So based on that video being posted, the guy who recorded the video and posted it, he asked everybody on Twitter to help him find out who she is. And somebody did. Somebody gave Frederick Joseph her name. Somebody else told Frederick Joseph where she works. And so Frederick Joseph called the owner of the company. It's a company called Bevy HQ. And the guy talked to Derek Anderson, who's the executive there. And based on that 25-second clip, this woman just lost her job. She was fired. And what the company CEO, Derek Anderson, said was, Bevy HQ has zero tolerance for discriminatory behavior of any kind. Yesterday, an employee engaged in behavior contrary to our values and has been terminated. We apologize deeply to all involved. How about the life of this guy who time after time after time after time posts on Twitter things that are just designed to stir up his followers and to try to get people fired. And, you know, I love my life and I love life. And I'm not afraid of death because of my faith, but I'd like to live a good long time. But when I look at America today, there's a part of me that's glad I've more years behind me than ahead of me. Because most of the years behind me have been absolutely wonderful. But when I see what's going on in our country, I'm not sure that the 60 years ahead of me, many of them after I'm gone, are going to be just as wonderful. Because we have people, you know, the schools with critical race theory, they're trying to create racial division. You may have heard in CBS News, murder, violent assaults after being down year after year after year for decades. They're all on the upswing. We've got a president whose mind is not all there right now, and who knows what that's going to lead to. You want to hear something really interesting, though? The guy who fired her, Derek Anderson, the CEO of Bevy HQ, guess what he did several years ago on Twitter? He repeatedly called things, and I'm sorry for using the word. It's not a word I ever use. But somebody asked him about the MTV show, The Real World, and he tweeted, "The real world is retarded." And then he also wrote, "Is that a joke? That's retarded." About another TV show. So the guy who fired this woman for allegedly saying stay in your hood had no problem using the R word in tweets. Now, that was several years ago. But let's say, you know, people like Kevin Hart got canceled as Oscar host because of tweets years ago. A girl with a college scholarship lost her scholarship and was denied admission because of a tweet she sent out when she was 12 years old. But the CEO can tweet the R word on multiple occasions, but then pretend like he has zero tolerance for discriminatory behavior. Well, people who are developmentally disabled have been trying to avoid that that word, that characterization from being used as derogatory. And this guy did it, but then he fires a woman under his employ. This is America today. It's crazy. Awesome audio coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Hey, on Friday we played for you Justin Trudeau, Canada's own Justin Trudeau. And, I mean, if you really are an ally, you'd think that LGBTQ would just fall right off your tongue. But Justin Trudeau has a little trouble with that one.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights.
Okay, LGBTQ2+. Well, I just, in the New York Times, I just saw that we've got to add another letter. Demisexual, D-E-M-I sexual. It refers to those attracted only to people with whom they share an emotional connection. Don't most of us have an emotional connection to those we love, to our spouses? But anyway, so add D. In fact, I think Trudeau was ahead of the curve. I think he snuck a D in the first time he tried saying that.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ.
Yeah. Okay, so add the demisexual, attracted only to persons with whom you share an emotional connection. I have an emotional connection to you for listening to this show. I guess I'm a D. All right. With that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Joe Biden still refuses or is ordered by his handlers, his masters. It's weird. First time in history when a United States president, the leader of the free world, has masters who handle him. But Joe Biden, he refuses to take questions from the press because his mind is not working, right? Sadly. And he was with the Indian prime minister. And the Indian prime minister wanted to take questions at the end of their little press availability.
What we're going to do is bring in the press. The Indian press is much better behaved than the American press. And I think with your permission, they should not answer questions because they won't ask any questions on point.
Okay, the American press, he got Joe Biden elected. And now he says, the Indian press is much better mannered, and I will ask you, Mr. Prime Minister, let's not take any questions, because they ordered Joe not to. And the same thing happened with the British Prime Minister.
Would it be okay if we just have a couple of questions,
Good luck, Joe says. So the British Prime Minister took a couple questions from the British press, but Joe Biden refused to take questions from the U.S. press. At two different press availabilities, with the Indian Prime Minister and with the British Prime Minister. And he told us this morning as he got his booster shot.
We are healthy. We're doing more than every other nation in the world combined. We're going to have well over 1.1 billion shots, and we're going to continue going.
We're going to have 1.1 billion shots in a country of 300 million. Interesting. And, oh, my goodness. At college football games all across the country, I'm not going to play you all of them, but we have clips from 5 different college football games. Also at concerts, the chant, the kids, Joe has lost them. Yeah, this is happening at every college football game across America because the Utes have seen the truth of what our president is. And then you have Donald Trump. You know, Joe Biden couldn't draw flies if he had a public appearance. Donald Trump had tens of thousands of people at a Georgia rally, and he left 13 seats empty in the front row for the 13 service members lost in Afghanistan.
Seats of honor right here in the front row. Our hearts go out to the families of every service member that we have lost, and I've spoken to a lot of them, and these are great, great people.
It is quite a contrast when you hear Trump without a teleprompter and Joe Biden not allowed to speak. It's amazing. Now, you might not agree with what Trump says without a teleprompter, but clearly Joe Biden is in severe decline, and that's pretty scary. All right, that is it. I got to get out of here because the Tom and Curly shows are ready to roll. They are coming up. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
That is the end of our freak show. We must relinquish the giddy glamour of show business and return to the humble pleasures of the neighborhood shopkeeper.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.